Hey, there's a rumble about Rush Limbaugh and some comments he made. Political websites and cable news shows are chewing over comments Limbaugh made on his radio show late last month. After talking to a caller who identified himself as a Republican and a former service member who supported pulling troops out of Iraq, well, Limbaugh, he didn't really believe that caller. Now, a little bit later on the talk show, the host went on to take another call and referred back to this. Take a listen.
A next guy that calls here, I'm going to ask him, why should we pull? What is the imperative of pulling out? What's in it for the United States to pull out? I don't think they have an answer for that other than, well, he's going to bring the troops home. Save the troops. Keep the troops safe, whatever. It's not possible intellectually to follow these people.
No, it's not. And what's really funny is they never talk to real soldiers. They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and spout the media.
The phony soldiers.
If you talk to a real soldier, they're proud to serve. They want to be over in Iraq. They understand their sacrifice, and they're willing to sacrifice for the country.
They joined to be in Iraq.
All right. That comparison, phony soldiers versus real soldiers, provoked a really strong reaction from the left. Way past political punditry. It went all the way to the Senate. Here's Majority Leader Harry Reid on the Senate floor linking Limbaugh's comments to the kerfuffle over MoveOn.org's general Betray Us ads, which caused its own political dust-up.
If we take the Republican side at their word that last week's vote on another controversial statement related to the war was truly without patriotism, not politics, then I have no doubt that they will stand with us against Limbaugh's comments with equal fervor. Anything less would be a double standard that has no place in the United States Senate. So I ask my colleagues, Democrats and Republicans alike, to join together against this irresponsible, hateful, and unpatriotic attack by calling Rush Limbaugh to give our troops the apology they deserve.
MoveOn.org ads, Rush and the phony soldiers, cable host Bill O'Reilly's alleged surprise about how normal a black-owned restaurant can be have all become daily talk show fodder. Right-wing blogs were in a fire over Keith Olbermann saying Fox News is as dangerous to society as a terrorist group. All of these are examples of what the LA Times is calling noise fare. We're going to bring in Matthew Felling, editor of Public Eye blog at CBSNews.com. So, Matthew, can you explain the anatomy of a noise fare campaign? How does something like a comment get so big so quickly that senators are addressing it?
Well, in light of the Limbaugh statement, I think that it's appropriate that you brought up the whole Harry Reid thing, because I doubt if this phony soldiers thing would have been as big a news story if there was not that MoveOn.org story, which was going on for 2.5-3 weeks when they put up the ad that made fun of Petraeus' last name, saying Betrayus. And I think that it's this weird Newtonian, every media action requires an equal and opposite reaction sort of thing, where the media had their way with the MoveOn.org ad, and they were pushing it, and they were saying, look, how can we allow this sort of debate to take place on this side of the political spectrum? And then Rush Limbaugh utters these words, and the people at Media Matters and other activist groups are able to push that up on the media. And the media, in an attempt at fairness, an attempt to be even-handed, they just keep pushing these little, I don't know, noise war? Is it just a much ado about nothing? All I know is that these groups who take one sentence or take a comment here or there, it's not really contributing a whole lot to the debate, and it's a little bit dismaying that we just get led around each week by this one little clip here or one little clip there.
Is there some issue?
It confuses a lot of people.
Does the media have to take responsibility for being maybe a little bit lazy about just receiving these emails and then putting them on the air, or receiving these emails and forwarding them around?
I don't think lazy. I think that they don't really look at things in proportion, and they like to blow things up. I mean, if it's not Paris Hilton, if it's not OJ, it's Rush Limbaugh calling people phony soldiers. And I wrote something railing about Rush Limbaugh saying phony soldiers, but then, you know, 15 minutes earlier he had been, and I hate to do this, it doesn't really come naturally to me, but 15 minutes earlier Rush Limbaugh had been saying something about an ABC News segment where they interviewed a guy who came back from Iraq, and the guy was very anti-war, and it turned out that he had not been a real soldier. He was somebody who had never served in Iraq. He had served 6 days in the U.S. Army. So in light of that, it is one long 3-hour conversation with the listeners. Does it excuse him for saying that? No. Does it explain it a little bit? Yeah, but if you're on the air 3 hours a day, it's kind of like a supermodel. Do you think that a supermodel in every single picture that they take always looks gorgeous? No. Sometimes they're blinking. Sometimes their body looks weird. And you never see those pictures. But those pictures are also a part of reality. And these activist groups on the left, on the right, they take pictures of left-wing and right-wing people each and every day, and they look for those moments.
They just take that snapshot moment.
Weird.
Yeah, that snap. So do these campaigns, these groups, are they really preaching to the converted? Because if you read Keith Olbermann's comment about Fox News and you hate Fox News, you're like, yeah, I see that, or you want to see that he's saying something horrible about the right. Or if you're looking for Bill O'Reilly to be racist, then you're going to see something or hear something in his comments. I'm just wondering if it's a preaching to the converted kind of thing.
It's definitely preaching to the converted, and these people have websites, and these people have mailing lists of people of their true believers that they send things to, and I'm not sure that, you know, that really adds anything. It really doesn't engage. We keep talking past each other. People on the left are saying things, people on the right are saying things, and they're not really having a discussion. They're just kind of spewing out their talking points. And I remember I was in a green room with a member of one of these groups in like the last year or so, and I think of myself as rational. Everybody, of course, loves to think of themselves as rational. We're always the most interesting person at a cocktail party, but nobody seems to agree with us sometimes. And I remember sitting down with one of these fellows, and he said, "You know what, Matt? It must be really tough for you because you always have to play it so even. You always have to take a look at both sides. I mean, maybe 8 of the 10 times that I do something, I understand and I agree with it. 2 times, we're a little bit off the reservation, but it must be really hard for you to always come down in the middle." And I said, "No, it's really not, because I'm not tying myself to one side or the other."
All right, Matthew, but you know what? When the Native American groups get you for saying off the reservation, don't mm-hmm. say I didn't warn you. Matthew Felling, editor of Public Eye Blog on CBSNews.com. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
You know, Allison, on the topic of things getting taken out of context or blown up, you
happened
have
to me.
An amazing story, which I don't think we have time for right now, but we got to either do something on the blog.
Maybe I'll blog about it. Yeah, I had something that I never said, but there was a graphic in front of me picked up by one of these websites.
When you were doing a TV show.
Yeah, and it just kept going and going, and all these people reported about it. Not one reporter called me. Not one reporter checked in with me to see what actually happened. I actually saw it on CNN with my name, and the reporter never even bothered to give me a phone call.
Not to mention that Senator David Vitter's wife will never speak to you again, probably.
Well, I said she looked saucy. That was as far as it went. She looked good that day when she was next to her man he was describing what he did.
We'll give you the full story on our blog. Stick with us, though, on this show, The Bryant Park Project from NPR News.